What up, witches, and welcome to Witchin' and Bitchin' a podcast. I'm your host, Darren.
And I'm Vicky. Hello, how are you all today? Hope you're really well.
My God, Vicky.
There we go, we got a response.
But did you hear how low I was then as well, though?
Oh.
I didn't go quite as high.
Vicky!
I was trying to make me a bit lower. Anyway, hello, everybody. Hope you're doing well.
So, As a spin-off from last week's episode, apologies for everyone that was waiting for us anxiously to post an episode. I unfortunately was sick for almost a full week. So hence why you had to wait a little bit longer for this episode. But we announced in that episode that we would do a follow-up episode about your spiritual BFF, so like your spiritual posse.
Yep.
Or like, you know, your, I don't know, how did you gang signs? Like,
oh, I don't know. Isn't there like Easter?
Spirit,
I don't know.
Yeah. What's up in the hizzle? Anyway.
I was never cool. Let's just face it. I was never cool enough.
You heard it here first. I was never cool.
I was never cool like that. I didn't know all those things.
But yeah, so we will.
So your guides, your allies, that spiritual team that's there to kind of help you out and get through life.
Yes, exactly.
In one piece.
The ones that help us navigate this magical existence that we call life. Is that what I said last time?
I love it. Yeah, I think so. So poetic. It's so lovely.
Yep. So let's start with a general, I guess, not disclaimer. What I want to say, a general definition.
Kind of definition, I suppose. Like, what are they?
Yeah. What would make up your spiritual allies or spirit allies or spiritual team or spirit guide? Like, what is it?
So I guess this kind of simplest way is some kind of either universal forces or spiritual beings, however you see them, that support you through your lifetime. They might help you with aspects of like teaching you or warning you about things, support you, comfort you, remind and reveal things that you need to learn about yourself. It's just basically kind of giving you that little bit of a helping hand to know yourself a little bit better and move towards that path of your highest good. How's that?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
I think that's kind of what they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're beings that are in the spiritual. They're in the astral, they're in the spiritual.
Yeah, so they're in the spiritual realm. So like obviously some people, like we spoke in our previous episode about clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, claircognizance, all the clairs.
All the clairs. I love the clairs.
Except not Claire from Outlander.
No.
Different clairs.
Different
anyway,
clairs.
So as much as that would be cool. but yeah, so we talked about all the clairs. So when it comes to your spirit guides or your spirit allies or your spirit posse, whatever you want to call them, your gang, your crew,
your peeps,
whoever.
Whatever.
Yep. Like you, obviously the way you interact with them and experience them will be different.
Yes.
I think we touched on it that I interact with some visually, others auditorially, others through clairsentience, like through a feeling, and there's others that just pop these knowings in my head. So every single one of them has like a calling card.
Yes, yeah, that's it. Like I have particular ones with particular guides of mine, where they might show me a particular symbol or it's a particular phrase that also lets me know that it's genuinely them as well.
So you've got like a password.
So it's almost like a password. Nah. See, I am cool actually. That's cool.
You've got a password. I don't have passwords.
Yes, you need passwords to get in, to get in my posse.
That means I'm not allowed in your posse.
Yes, you can. I'll tell you the password. Okay.
What's the password?
Don't
say it on camera.
No. But yeah, like you can have different calling cards, and that's where it can be really important to learn to tune in a little bit to know what your clair, like which ones are your more dominant ones, so then you can start to look for that awareness and look for those signs and things where they might be trying to connect with you that way, and you might be trying to listen when they're actually trying to visually get in contact with you.
Oh yeah, like yours when they're
like mine,
listen with your ears.
Yeah, she's like, why are you listening with your ears? And she is a little bit, and she's funny. She's my, I call her a bit of a nonna, and I don't mean that in any disrespect at all to anybody who's a nonna, but she actually like clipped me over the, she like, she'll clip me over the ears, and I actually flinched one day, literally.
Physically flinched.
Physically flinched, yeah.
To dodge her clipping.
Yeah.
Spiritual realm.
Yeah.
That's almost as bad as me when I'm driving, if a bird like swoops.
Yes.
And I duck, and I'm in my car.
The car, it's not going to happen.
Ducking is not going to do anything.
Yeah, no. But then that also goes to show like how, for want of a better word, how real and how really present that their presence can be, that it kind of goes between the spiritual and physical realm. It's not always. Yeah.
I once had that. I mean, this is a slightly different tangent, but this is like one time I was so sleep deprived that, you know how when you're sleep deprived, you see things and you think they're real?
Yep.
I was very sleep deprived. I was on my way home from work and I just pulled a massive shift. They asked me to stay back when I was working in hospo still, so hospitality.
Yeah.
And I think I did like a 16-hour shift straight and I was like so tired, but like I just wanted to get home. And I remember driving on the road and I literally saw, I don't know why, but I saw someone from like wearing olden day clothing.
Oh.
This should have been my first sign that they weren't really there.
They weren't actually.
Olden day clothing and they jumped in front of my car and I swerved my car to go around them. There was no one there, but I was like, because I was that sleep deprived, I thought it was real.
That they were really there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Still to this day, do not know, was that a spirit or was that just...
I was about to say, like, was that just a bit of a hallucination kind of thing because you were sleep deprived, or was it just that it was a bit... because you were sleep deprived, that gateway is a little bit blurred.
Who knows? Chicken or the egg?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, which one was it? But yeah, so like, I guess, so one thing I did want to touch on though, while we're on this topic.
Yeah.
So, because I've had people that have actually asked me, they said, well, how do you know that you're actually talking to spirits?
Mm.
Like, well, what do you mean? How do I know? Because I can see them and hear them and feel them and whatever else. And they're like, yeah, but how do you know that you're not like just hearing voices in your head or whatever? Yeah. Mind you, this came from one of my friends who works in mental health.
Yeah. but it's a thing, but it is something that a lot of people think. You probably think about, like, is this real or not?
Mm. Well, and see, this is the thing. The way that I justify this, so with mental illness, people that have, and I'm not being a doctor here, but people who have been diagnosed with schizophrenia or any form of thing where they're talking to other people that aren't there, they can't switch it off. There's no off switch.
Yeah, there's no sort of control to those voices.
Whereas in the spirit realm, they respect our universal law of free will. So if you literally said to them, shut up, I mean, not that I would talk to my guides in this way, but if you said to them, shut up, stop talking to me, go away, leave me alone, they will respect that.
Yeah.
Because that they can't break your free will. You have choice.
Never thought of it that way, but you do. Yes.
So if you can tell, if you can tell the voices to stop talking, they're most likely spirit guide, not schizophrenic or any other form of hallucinogen.
Yeah, any kind
of. Sorry, not hallucinogen, hallucination.
That can
happen. Well, that too. no, they're not like a hallucination or something because you can switch them off.
Yeah.
And tell them to stop. So I guess that's the first thing that, like, if people aren't sure whether they're real or not.
Mm. It's that ability to be, because they are, they're an entity, like they are a separate being, they're a separate entity. It's, they're going to respect your free will.
Yeah. And like, I guess, conversation point, like on that is also just to, like, obviously we're going to be giving you a rundown of all of the different types of spirit guides that we are aware of and then who's in our posse.
Yep.
But then like, as much as we're going to be giving all this stuff, don't take what we say as like, this is,
no,
this is the word. Way,
and if you don't have it in these categories, then it's not.
Then it's not. No. So we always say that with any kind of spirit work, you should always trust your own experience. Because even when it comes to your guides, like I've been to someone and they've said to me, oh, I'm seeing one of your spirit guides. And she started describing something to me. And I'm like, huh?
Is that real?
And she was describing this person to me that I'm like, I have no idea who you're talking about. And she was just saying, oh, I bet he's standing on your left shoulder. I tapped into my spirit guides and the person standing on my left was absolutely not who she was describing to me. So I always trust my own experience with my spirit guides because I know them intimately. And the other thing that I've come to learn over time is that, like, you know, there are some psychics and mediums that will see your spirits the way you see them, but there are also some that will see them differently. And I've learned, like, I always question, I was like, but is she actually talking about you kind of thing in my mind?
Yeah.
And they said, well, maybe that's just how she sees me.
And see, and that's the big thing, isn't it? I often say that I think spirit or whatever comes to you in a way that you can understand it or that you can interpret it. So what you interpret and what I interpret, they might end up looking like two completely different.
Yeah. Because they're gonna do something that like appeals to you or that you can recognize, or
you have some reference point to or something. Yeah.
Well, okay, so this is actually, I know you and I were talking about this off camera. Mm. This is something that I've done. So whenever I meet a new guide, I, when in deep meditation is usually where I get introduced to my new guides. If I go in to actively seek one out, or if I've noticed an energy around me and I'm not sure who it is, I literally just say, I demand you to make yourself known in my inner temple.
Yeah.
I journey into my inner temple because that's my sanctuary. The only guides that are allowed in there are the ones that have been cleared. Ones. Like they have, they know the secret knock, the secret handshake that are to get in.
Yeah.
They are there for my highest good, humming none. Yeah. So I demand them to come make themselves known in my inner temple.
Through that way.
And when they do that, I know that they're legit. Yeah. And then from there, because that place like Fort Knox, times by the Tower of London.
All of them combined. Yeah,
multiplied by the square root of, I don't know, whatever else, the Forbidden City or something. But yeah, so when they come there and then I commune with them, communicate with them, after I come out of that, I do this thing where, as just a general practice, I will go through like lots of Google searching, looking for imagery to try to narrow down, just using keyword searches, to try to narrow down a visual that to me looks like what I saw in my vision or in my meditation.
Yeah.
And then I will literally ask them, does this look like you? And then they'll show me another image in my head. I'm like, okay, cool. So then I'll refine the search until I find some kind of reference material out there that resonates. And then that then becomes my visual representation. So
that becomes like your key to be able to connect.
Like, I've actually got one of them on the background of my phone, like a picture of one.
That's
so cool. It's a way of like connecting with him. So I put that as a background image on my phone because I'm spending most of my communication trying to get to know him at the moment. Yep. So that's what I use as a prompter. So then
that's really cool. I've never even thought to do that before, to actually go see if you can find something that's similar to create that representation.
Well, because I've actually got an album on my phone of my guides. And I've got visual representations of all of them.
Yeah.
So then I've got something visual to then connect with them. If I'm struggling, I'll look at the visual connection to then close my eyes and then connect with them like through projected imagery.
I really love that, because you could even do that even beyond like a visual thing. You could have some form of, I don't know, crystal or an object or something as well that becomes...
That reminds you of them, yeah.
Yeah, that becomes that connection link, and it makes it much easier to sort of tap into it, especially when you're like a new guide and things like that. It's not as easy to just drop in.
Yeah, it's not like I just go... dial their number. Yeah. Yo, hey. What's up, bitches?
What's
like,
up?
I need some help down here in the earthly plane. Can you make your spiritual existence known? Stat. Peace out, brother. Like, you know.
I love it. I'm sure there's an app for it. There'll be an app for it.
Can you imagine? That's a whole market that we could tap into.
That is. I love it. I think we could. It's an app.
Although, well, I don't know. I don't know if they would with the spirit realm.
Probably not.
Would they have mobile phones with apps to talk to us through them?
No. WhatsApp.
Oh my god. Can you just WhatsApp my spiritual posse?
Yeah, that's it.
Yo.
Make it much easier, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that be so cool if you could just text or like WhatsApp your posse?
Yeah. I think that's cool.
Take all the guesswork out of it. Just create a WhatsApp.
We don't need any of these synchronicities and all of this stuff.
No, just WhatsApp straight your to the group point. And then can you imagine if you just created one, put it out there to the universe saying, I'm going to create this WhatsApp group, only you're in it. You type something and then just wait and then see if a message comes back.
Or even predict a text, you know?
No, that's weird. I don't like when people do that thing where they have like...
No, I don't either.
No, I can't do that. Anyway, we've digressed.
All right, we've digressed yet again. That's us. So what's some different forms? Forms that they may appear to us in.
The ones that they may appear to us in. So I've got things like the Great Spirit. So that's a name that is used for like the Mother, Father, Goddess, or Father Sky, Mother Earth, or God, or the Buddha, or Allah, the One, Source, Spirit. Like it's that all encompassing everything, the universe.
Yeah.
So there's that at the, what I would say, like the top layer, the outermost layer, the most spiritual layer.
Yeah.
And then as I go through these, it's kind of like almost coming down to the more and more earthly base.
Yeah.
So the next group I would say would be things like your angels, the ascended masters.
Yes. Yep.
And then deities.
Yeah.
So all the different gods and goddesses. In all their manifestations.
Yeah.
Next layer down, I would then say you've got like things like ancestors, and your soul groups. So now, yeah. Soul groups is one that most people won't know.
Yeah.
So essentially, I mean, there's different ways you could talk about this, but my understanding of soul groups, it's like our soul outside of this human experience, there's a group of other souls, and then we all belong to like a soul group together, and we've made a pact that we're all going to learn certain things. Now, from what I've looked into soul groups, there's several ways that people have talked about it. One is that that certain members from each soul group have certain lessons that they need to learn and then take it back to the soul group after this incarnation. So basically your soul group splits up.
You're kind of learning for them kind of thing. You're bringing it to the collective.
Yeah, so you're all learning different things with, and in, so for example, I might recognize other people from my soul group in this experience of humanity. And so we we get to know each other physically in this lifetime. And then, but we're both from the same soul group. And then we take that knowledge back when we die. And we share that with the collective. So there's that version of soul groups that I've heard of. I'm just trying to think, what was the other one?
The other one, I guess it's very similar, but rather than necessarily bringing it back to the collective, it's more kind of like, okay, say you and I need to learn a lesson, and I'll come down with you to help you learn that lesson, and then we'll go back up to our family after.
And help.
Yeah, I'll come down and help you, and then we'll go back up together. Or
Yeah, so the soul groups. Then you have things like your power animals or animal totems.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Animals. And then you have interdimensional beings, or what's another word, like intergalactic or
intergalactics, maybe.
That's you often hear people talk about the Palladians and
the star beings, maybe. Star beings?
Yeah, star beings. That's a good one.
That's probably a good word. Yeah.
I actually had a conversation with someone recently. Last weekend we were talking about it because they listened to our episode, and then I was talking about this stuff. And she believes that she has connections to the Palladians, I think is the one that she said. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, what about you? And I'm like, to be honest, I don't know whether I have got a star being connection. From all the soul searching I've done, both ancestrally as well as spiritually, I feel like my soul has been on this planet so many times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember any past life connection. I don't know any connection to a star being, constellation group. No, I definitely think I've been on the earth
for a while.
Doing this
wheel a little bit long.
Yeah.
I've looked into mine a little bit, and I have connections into like the Orion star system and other ones like that as well. But yeah, I've looked into it a little bit. And then a far reaching. Yeah. It's very interesting. That goes kind of next level a little bit, the galactic sort of stuff.
I don't know anything about it. Like, it's like,
yeah, it's all reasonably new to me as well.
Okay. Maybe we need to. Maybe we could park that as a future episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can see if we can find an expert or someone that.
Yeah, because
something about it.
Like star seeds and all of those sorts of things now.
Yeah, because everyone's. Yeah. It seems to be like the new buzzword.
It is. It's a big thing now. It's all coming out.
Interesting.
But yeah, okay, let's put that one
let's
down.
Let's park that one down. Yeah.
Future, possible future.
Now, then you've got obviously things like elementals. So you've got like for the four different elements, you've got the dwarves and gnomes for earth, the sylphs for air, the salamanders for fire, or the, is it undines?
Undines. Undines.
However you pronounce it.
I honestly don't know.
The merfolk, mermaids and mermen.
Yes.
For water. So the elementals, or sometimes they even just appear as like a fire person.
Yeah, as an actual represent, almost.
What do you call it, like a humanoid made out of fire?
Out of the actual element. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You then have devas and nature spirits. So a deva or a diva, depending on how you pronounce it. You might have, for example, a specific diva for a specific tree.
Yeah.
So the diva of the oak tree will embody all the things that it is to be an oak tree, so that the tree knows how to grow.
Yeah.
And then you have
basically like the spirit of that. The tree, plant, whatever it is.
Whereas what I've learned is that nature spirits are bigger. So for example, you might have a nature spirit for the desert, meaning it's not specifically the sand, it's the whole ecosystem of the desert.
Yeah, it's that whole place. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, or the forest, like with everything that's in it. So you might have a river spirit and then a tree spirit and then, you know, a dirt spirit and whatever. But then the nature spirit for the forest might be the whole thing.
The overarching kind of thing.
Yeah. So then you have your incarnate being. So now this can be connected to your soul group.
Yes,
From what I've learned is that incarnate beings are spirits that you meet in your human existence that you know from a spiritual existence. And when you meet them, it's like you know them even though you've just met, because yes, you recognize their spirit or their essence. So yeah, you know that, like, this is why,
whether it's kind of like a past life thing or something, yeah, or your soul group, there's some kind
there's
of
some connection
beyond this physical world.
Yeah, exactly. So this is why, like, you and I have joked about the fact, yes, that I know that we've had at least, yep, one lifetime together.
Yeah,
at least,
definitely, at least
we know each other too instant. Well,
I know, and it's like when you meet someone and you kind of like, I actually have to, I forget that I haven't actually known you for years and years and years and years and years, because it feels that way. Like, it's that instant kind of connection.
Yeah.
So I completely get this one.
So they're your incarnate beings.
Yep.
Then you have constructs. Now, constructs, yes, usually they're constructed by you.
Yeah.
And they're usually attached to a thought form. So if you're not sure, yeah, what thought forms are, a lot of people,
servitors,
when they say that...
It can be called servitor as well.
Servitor. Okay. Yep. So a thought form is basically when you give something enough, it's like you will it into existence.
Yeah.
And then you, yeah, charge it with an intention to fulfill either some spell work or a specific purpose. Like, you might create a construct in order to protect your house.
Yeah.
So, and you give it a persona, you give it an energy, you give, so you've literally created it out of nothing.
Yeah, you're breathing life into a being, yeah, and it has its purpose, and then once its purpose is done, it can dissipate.
Or
however you've programmed it to.
Exactly. So, mm-hmm, I always say that, like, thought forms are more common in the negative context, meaning that people can, yeah, create thought forms and send thought forms to others,
yeah, yeah,
without realizing, like, by talking, yeah, ill of someone else, you can actually send a thought form to them that, mm, can then attach to them, and
that's what they say, like, words have power.
Stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, so there's that. And then you have bound spirits. Now, bound spirits can be demons or it can be actual spirits. Whether they used, yep, to exist in the earthly plane or not is irrelevant. But it's like a bound spirit usually comes from a time and place of either someone who's a spiritual worker who maybe they're not ethically sound, and they might, yep, bind a spirit to their soul or to their spirit.
To them.
So when they are here in this lifetime, that bound spirit has to come with them.
Yep.
Yeah, so I personally question the ethics of binding a spirit.
Yeah.
Because I think that that breaks their free will.
Yeah. Yes.
Just a little.
Just a little.
By a little, I mean a lot.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. And I guess, but you never know the circumstance of it, whether it's a pact or whatever. Who knows? But.
Yeah. So that's, I guess, a very high level,
yeah,
of
at least
different
ways they might kind of show themselves or...
Or where they may have originated from, or because, like, I know some people that work specifically with their ancestors, and their, yeah, ancestors are their spirit guides. I'm just checking in. No, none of mine are ancestral.
Yeah.
At least not in that I'm working with currently. I know that my grandfather pops in from time to time, but that's more to watch over me. He's not a spirit, yeah, guide. He just pops in to
just to check
sure I'm okay.
Yeah, and that's what I have too with I don't have any that are directly like ancestors, and it's the same thing, but I do still connect with some, like, it is actually my grandfather as well, and he'll pop in and just every now and again. It's often when I first started to realize that I had that I could hear things was actually him, because I'd go to bed and I didn't know why, I would get this old song in my head and it would just play over and over and over again. I don't know if you know, it's like super old, it's like "Good Night Sweetheart", it's like "Good Night Sweetheart, well it's time to go", that kind of thing. It keeps going on, it's like super old, like probably like,
you're old. I'm joking.
I don't, but that was the thing, like, it was not a song that I could have heard on the radio or heard anywhere, because it was, I think it's like from like the 30s or 40s or something,
oh,
like that, yeah, and I still didn't understand what it was. And then I was talking to my mum one day about it, and I said, "Oh, I keep getting this song, it's really bizarre." And she's like, "Oh my god, that's what Pop used to sing to us when we used to go to bed, that's what he used to sing to them." And yeah, I didn't even know that. And so that was from then, it all made sense. And that's how I used to then start to connect with him.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So yeah, so he's, aww, one that just, he's not necessarily a guide as such, but
he just pops in.
Yeah,
yeah,
just
same as mine.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess then from when it comes down to your actual posse.
Then they can kind of be I guess, categorized, for want of a better word.
Yeah, well, exactly, because I mean, and like we said at the start, like, we're giving you a very general overview of the categories that they may sit in.
Yeah.
But I fact-checked myself by speaking to my crew, and I said to them, I basically quizzed them all, and I said, so which one of these categories are you?
Which one are you?
Aside from getting a little bit of sassy retort from a couple of them about, shouldn't you know? So funny. But yeah, so obviously you've got the very first category we'll talk about is your spirit guides. So spirit guides are those who are there to help and direct you, like a good friend or a counselor, to be there to be there to speak when you need them, and to be there to listen when you need to talk.
Yes.
So they act like spiritual therapists and good friends. So they may cross over with any of the following other roles as well.
Yeah.
And are more, are the most common to interact with during a shamanic journey or meditation. So your spirit guides, they interact with you a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually. They're the ones that are the more, I guess, day to day, or doing things a lot more.
Yeah. So like, even though I think most of mine that I deal with, I would put in this category as spirit guides, but there are some that stand in the forefront, and the others kind of are in the background. And they serve a specific purpose for a specific topic.
Yeah.
Because I've got like one that is just a general all-purpose guide. Then I have, she's like,
I know there's no other way to kind of describe it. I'm sure she's got something to say about it though.
She's literally saying to me, you've just described like clean. Like, because literally I'm like, she's an all-purpose guide. And she's like, I'm not something you wipe the bench with. I know. Anyway, so this is what I mean. Like, when it comes to like them talking to you, I know when it's her because the voice is different.
Yeah, it's no different than like if you're talking to me, or then somebody else comes in, because it's a different voice. It's a different.
Yeah, and while she has like funny retort, like now I said to her, like in my mind, I'm like, shush, I'm trying to record a podcast. And she's like, oh, okay.
Well, all right then.
And then she zips it. Anyway, so there's her, she's like my all-purpose guide. Then I have another one that helps me focus on when I'm trying to connect with the spiritual side of it, so the light. And then I have a different one that I use to connect with the dark or the shadow side.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all serving a different purpose, but they're all my spiritual guides. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Because they're a bit more, they're around all the time.
Yeah.
The ones that are around all the time.
What about yours?
Mine are a bit similar to you. I have... Okay. I have one that's probably a bit more specific to one of the categories we're saying after. So she's a bit more of a protector, gatekeeper kind of one. But then my other guides that I deal with on a like day-to-day basis, for want of a better word, is they are that little bit more, I know I'm now I want to say all purpose, that general purpose kind of thing. And I'm like, I'm waiting for the little flip, the little hit. But yeah, mine are a bit more like that. And I do talk to them in that respect as well, like as if they were a friend, like a friend that you talk to whenever you need different things, or not always just about what I need, but also like with help and guidance. I was gonna say, look at me.
I was literally, while you're talking, I'm literally like having conversation with you, but also having a conversation with her. Say, do I talk to you like a friend? She's like, more like a sibling. I'm like, oh, so not like a lover? She's like, oh, hell no. Apparently more like a sibling.
Yes. Well, I guess that can kind of, those boundaries can kind of cross a little sometimes too. They can be a bit more like that. But it's that kind of relationship though, where it's a more familial kind of.
See, I knew this was going to happen. Now that I've invited them in.
They're all here.
They're like chatterboxing. And I'm
It's like, I need to concentrate on.
Yeah, like she's literally now just like, oh well, you open this dialogue, so I'm just gonna keep talking now.
Let's keep going.
Let me record the episode. All
right, well, because I touched on that one a little bit in mine then as well. So next kind of, I guess, category, for want of a better word, is protector guides.
Yeah. So the protector guides or spirits are concerned primarily with your physical welfare.
Yeah.
But also with your spiritual protection. So they're different spirits may be in charge of different aspects of protection for you. Like angels and animal spirits are often viewed as protectors as well.
Yeah.
So your protector is normally, they're looking out for you. So they would normally be the guide that's going to like warn you if you're about to do something that's going to put you in physical danger.
Yes.
And I've literally had mine, no joke, stand in front of me like this. And I'm like, whoa. And then like something I've just like
dodge something
bad from happening, whether it's slipping off the edge of surface, like it could, like literally, because I've been stuff. Like whether it's I could have like gone down the thing, or if it's like a car unexpectedly came in front of me, like they're the ones who literally they make themselves known. That's probably the times when I see them the clearest.
Yes, because they have to really get that message across instantly. Yeah. There's no kind of questioning or querying. They can't.
Yeah, they're just like, stop. And then, legit.
And then it's going to make you go back. Yeah. And then they can also be ones that help to kind of give you that courage and things like that when you wanting to start something new or in the physical. You can call on them for that kind of.
Well, see, this is interesting. I think I touched on this in a previous episode where one of mine, he got assigned to me when I started doing psychic development.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't recognize him because I'd never worked with him before, but he got assigned when a particular traumatic experience happened. I don't know if it was this on or off camera, but anyway. I
can't remember.
And I didn't recognize him. And so I was like throwing white light at him. I was like grabbing onto crystals and like sending energy at him and all this. And I kept getting this weird zapping in my head. And it wasn't until I calmed my shit.
Just calm down.
Who are you? And he's like, I'm here to protect you. And I'm like, oh, why don't you just say that? He's like, you didn't ask.
What? Really?
I'm like,
you don't think he could have mentioned that while I was throwing stuff at you?
But he actually liked the fact that I was testing him. Like by
I was gonna say, at least he was making sure.
He was. And he was like, at least I know that you know what to do to make sure that I'm legit, that I'm here for the right purpose.
Yeah.
And then like I think when I was a kid, I often had animal spirits as my protectors. And I still to this day, my departed dog appears to me every once in a while.
Really?
Yeah. So she passed a long time ago and it was a Samoyed.
Yeah.
So it's not a dog that you see that often.
No, you don't. They're not a really common.
No, and I've seen a medium, and the medium actually talked about her and said that when you see this particular dog, she's like, your dog was white and fluffy, wasn't it? And I'm like, no. I said, yeah, so she was. And she's like, well, whenever you see them physically, that's her way of communicating with you. So she's making herself known. And I'm like, and then you think, well, but what if you live near a Samoyed? But it's really, like, I know there's some that live in my area, but they're not common.
No, they're not. It's not a really common dog that you'll see everywhere.
No.
So,
but she was definitely a protector of mine when I was a kid because I knew her from puppy up until she passed on.
Yeah. I have two with animals. They were actually my very first ones that I ever really connected with was two animal guides, a wolf and a falcon. And so now they kind of they're still with me now and they kind of border onto the next category as well, the gatekeeper.
I was going to say, that's a nice little segue to your new tattoo.
It is. I know, but I was looking at it and I'm like, it's actually in its kind of manky stage where it doesn't look
that
good.
Okay, so you don't want to show it. Okay.
I'll do a quick little one, but they're at the bottom. I don't know if you can see them. There's a little falcon and there's a wolf. So I put them on there because they are my longest run and they journey with me all the time. So they are kind of like my protectors when I journey and do different things and all of that as well.
Aww, that's lovely.
Yes, so they're my longest ones.
Well, you already touched on it, but the next category is the gatekeeper.
Yeah.
So the gatekeepers are not physical protectors, but protectors of your consciousness, guardians of your mind and spirit. So they may simultaneously assume the role of protector as well. So normally the protector is about the physical harm and the guardian is about your consciousness and spiritual.
Yeah.
But they can do both roles.
Yes. Yes. And it's kind of often when like you might be opening up a little bit more to like the clairs or your different gifts and things, and things are coming through, they're kind of that little stopgap in between to make sure what's coming through is okay.
Oh yeah, like anytime I do any form of channeling, my gatekeeper knows you stand next to me, you do not move.
Yeah, that's right.
And I know if I'm communicating with spirit, he's there to make sure the spirit I'm communicating with is the right spirit.
Legit. It's
Because if that person or that entity or whatever energy is not legit or it's not for my highest purpose or it's there to cause harm, he banishes them away and he's like, I would be scared of this dude if he was in physical manifestation, I would be petrified of my gatekeeper.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, like he's like fuck off tall. He'd be at least 7.5 feet.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just talking like.
It's like No.
Presence is known.
Yeah, I was going to say he's the bouncer. Basically, they're like the bouncer at the door.
And do you know, he has actually, so this is the thing, my gatekeeper, he has actually made his physical, he's made his presence known physically before when I've been threatened.
Oh, yeah.
So I had someone that was being physically threatening towards me, and he basically, I visually saw him appear in between us, and he shoved the person and they went flying. Wow. And they thought that I'd shoved them. And then, but like, lucky it didn't work.
I was going to say that it didn't go the opposite way where they came firing back.
Because they thought that I was an easy target. And then because they got that shoving, they left me alone when they ran away. And I was just like, what the fuck? Because I know I didn't touch them.
It's like, I didn't do that.
And I even said to him, like, dude, you kind of can't shove people. And he's like, they were getting threatening. I'm like, yes, but you can't shove people.
We can't do that all the time.
Like, I could have gotten in trouble for that.
See it. He could have come around to bite me.
Yeah. Anyways, but you learned.
That's right. That's the main thing. It's all a learning curve for everybody. That's fine.
Yeah. So, but that's the one of all of them. I mean, trust is important anyway. Trust and mutual respect are first and foremost, but your gatekeeper is the one that you need to have like solid trust with them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a complete trust thing where you feel completely protected, or you know that what they're bringing through is okay for you to bring through.
Like, cause that he's the one that I filter everything through. Like if if some entity comes up to me randomly walking down the street or wherever I may be and tries to communicate with me, the first thing I do is get down here, filter this person. Are they right for me?
Yeah.
Before I speak to them, I won't until he's given me that. Yep. They're all good.
Cause okay,
like he's talking to them and whoever is in charge of them and blah, 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 just to make, you know,
make sure it's all legit. It's
doing like a background check, running them through the database, just making sure they're all kosher. Like, you know what
I mean? Yeah. And that's why these ones are probably a really good one if you are getting into all of their magical work and doing the clairs and things like that, trying to connect with a gatekeeper guide and having that kind of relationship is really important.
Yeah.
Also as an extra layer of protection. So I have one that she's also my gatekeeper as well. She reminds me of Xena.
Did she do that? I know that for those listening, that probably chimed out when
I was going to say it's gone as well, but but she has that kind of esque sort of, I wouldn't mess with her.
No, but usually the gatekeepers look like gatekeepers.
Yeah, that's what I found.
they look and breathe and feel like.
Yeah.
They've got that don't fuck with me energy about them.
Awesome, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you, universe, for assigning me such a, you know.
Yeah.
Now, going to a more softer side of things, then you've got your healers.
Yeah.
So healers are spirits who are available for healing on all levels and aid others in healing as well. So when you desire self-healing, you can call on your healers and ask for instructions. And once you've called on them, lie down and they will align your physical and subtle bodies. So I've done healing because I've been Reiki and crystal healing attuned.
Yes.
Like I've done healings on other people, but then sometimes what I'll do is like literally if I lay stones on myself, I will just lay there and I'll go into meditation. I'll go into my inner temple. I'll go in there seeking healing and I'll ask my healing guide to come in. Now, I think I joked at the start of this recording because I asked my guide, so which one did I use my healer? And they all laughed at me, firstly because they thought I should know the answer to that. And secondly, they said, well, it depends. Depends on what I'm trying to heal will determine which one of them will help with that healing. So I don't have one guide. It's like they kind of all fulfill a purpose.
Yeah, they have kind of their different areas that's more of their specialty, for want of a better way. Because I was the same, because I was thinking, who's my guide, who's my teacher, who's this one, who's that one? And then I suddenly kind of realized when you mentioned that afterwards, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. They're a little bit of crossover.
Yeah,
they've got different areas of expertise, I guess.
Yeah,
like a specialist.
Yeah, exactly,
like a specialist.
Exactly. Now this next one I don't have anymore, but I used to. Oh, now they're giving me sass. So some references will talk about a joy guide, which is it's said to help you remain in contact with fun, laughter, and your inner child, also known as a laughter guide, a trickster, a fairy, or other mischievous spirit like that may take on this role. So I used to have one that looked like Dobby.
I love Dobby. I love Dobby.
He used to look like Dobby, and no joke, he would hide my keys. He would just move shit in places that I know I didn't put it there, and I would ransack the whole house, and I'm like, so I'd ask him like, where is it? And then he'd be like, where did you last leave it? And I'm like, and I would say like, where I last put it. And he goes, so check again. And then I'd go back there, and I'm like, oh, that was so not fucking there before. Like, so, and this is the thing, and I used to get so angry, and he'd go, and he'd just laugh at me. Anytime I got angry, he would just laugh at me.
Wow.
And I'm like, what's so funny? He's like, this is exactly my purpose. You're taking life too seriously.
Oh.
And he would literally just, he would do annoying little things like a little brother would.
Yes. Yeah. Just kind of just poke a little bit.
Just to annoy the shit out of me to the point that I'd be like, okay.
I'm like, this is not bringing me joy.
Yeah, right. but he's not around anymore. But
yeah, because I realized I didn't have one of those, or I don't have one of those, but I do have house spirits that like
do things.
Yeah. Yeah, things. I'm like, I know I put them there, and then I've looked everywhere, and then I'll come back and they're back where originally. I'm like, please, can we just put them back today? So please. I look like they're crazy. I'm just like, please, not right now. I'm late. I need to go. Okay. So yeah, so mine are always a bit more like the house spirits. So maybe they're a guide and I didn't realize.
Might have been. Maybe talk to them, ask them.
I'll have a chat. I'll have a chat.
Just call them up. Yo.
I leave them stuff. I
what's
leave
up?
Them on the WhatsApp app.
No, WhatsApp, not WhatsApp.
I was going to say we could on the WhatsApp app.
Next one we have is our runner or messenger spirit.
Mm.
So they're the ones who help you manifest and find things in the physical world. So sometimes like elementals and nature spirits might embody the role of a runner spirit.
Could do that.
So or like a manifestation spirit or messenger spirit. So for me,
there you go.
Sorry, I just had someone talking to me.
I was just like, hold 1 second.
Yeah, I'm like, sorry, caller. Please hold. I didn't realize that. So my favorite temple in Japan is the Fushimi Inari Shrine. I've just had this epiphany while on this thing.
Okay.
And they've just confirmed it for me that the fox spirit for me is my messenger spirit. And it's funny that I love that temple in Japan, and that's where the Shinto actually revered the Inari, which is the fox spirit, like as the messenger to the messenger spirit world. So you would they have a lot of little foxes are everywhere, and I never knew why I love that temple so much, and it just became clear to me that that's fox why. Spirit always carried the messages for me.
Oh wow, that's so cool.
And I see foxes everywhere.
Do you?
Everywhere. And you would think, what?
What?
Where do you live? 17th century Scotland? No.
Yeah, no.
No.
Oh, you wish.
I'm not an Outlander. No.
I'd like to be.
Yeah, I would love to be. But, I don't think I have
connection with, well, that I have met. Spirit. Yeah, with an actual messenger spirit.
I asked my spirit guides. I'm like, oh, so is any of you like a runner spirit or a messenger spirit? And this is where it shows their humor. They literally said, we nominate Hermes. Because he's the dude with the wings on the shoes. And he's the messenger guy. And see, I don't work with Hermes or Mercury at all.
No.
But the fact that they're like, we nominate Hermes.
Is that really? Do we need that?
Yeah. They should make a sitcom. I could make a sitcom with my guides. That would be hilarious.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
There you go. See, here's a whole new avenue now.
We should get a deal with Netflix.
Yeah, get a new Netflix show. I'd watch it.
I love it. Now, the next one you have is your master teacher. So, master teacher is concerned about your spiritual development and the course of your study. So, master teacher will provoke you not only to learn, but also to practice and develop your skills. Think of the spirit as a mentor who will often be connected in some way to your chosen life profession.
Mm.
So, my master teacher is a... for lack of a better phrase, he looks like a monk.
Yeah.
And he's like orangey yellow robes with a shaved head, sits down, looks like Aang from The Last Airbender, but an older
person. Yep.
And sits there in his meditative position. He has his eyes closed all the time. He does not speak. He does not.
He's the one that you get feelings from, isn't he? Yeah.
So, I asked him, I said, oh, so what do I call you? Because I've never actually called him anything. I just know he's there.
Yeah.
And he's like, you may call me master. I'm like, and there's a dude, okay. Master what? And he's like, Master Yi. I'm like, why Yi? And he's like, because it means number one in Chinese. And I'm like,
there you go. Number one master teacher.
Yeah, he's being funny.
I like this. I like funny. Your guides. They're funny.
Well, the others then started laughing because of the fact that he never cracks jokes. He's always so serious. He's normally the one sitting in the corner when they're all cracking jokes. He's like, can you all just stop?
Just watch, just overwatching. He's like, no.
We're not doing this today. Settle kids. Like, you know, he's normally that dude.
But he's dropping jokes. I love this. I love it. See, I don't always, mine don't always, they do sometimes.
You just need, like, everyone's guides crack jokes. You just need to be
paying attention. Yeah, they do. Mine do. They do crack jokes.
Yeah. Like. And as soon as you say they don't, they'll correct you.
Yeah, I know. That's right. That's what I'm like. Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And then I guess the last category that I've got listed down is a patron. So it's a patron usually refers to a patron deity, a goddess or god with whom you serve and for whom you act as an agent in this world. So your learning development is directly tied to this patron whom you choose or who chooses you and can sometimes change with time as your path changes. So it may also act as the master teacher. So my patron deity has always been Kuan Yin. So I've got actually, it's close enough for me to grab.
To grab watching, a different session.
For those watching on the tube. So I have my Kuan Yin statue.
Wow, she's beautiful.
So she's rosewood.
So describe it. Is it rosewood?
It's a rosewood statue of Kuan Yin, and she's holding a little baby.
So she's standing up.
She's standing upright. And she's holding a little baby. I remember the first time that I had this in my house, and Chris said to me, he's like, why do we have an effigy of Mary and baby Jesus?
Oh.
I'm like, unless Mary and baby Jesus are Asian.
It's not.
Because
I don't think I've ever seen her holding a baby before. Like one of the statues. I don't think I've seen that.
So she's actually, everyone knows her as the goddess of compassion and mercy.
Yeah.
But she's also the goddess of mothers and children.
Ah, I didn't realize that.
So she's also fertility, mothers, children, all of that stuff, as well as the compassion and mercy. So we know her as the protectress and the compassion and mercy kind of all forgiving.
Yeah, that's the kind of one, I guess, that we... overarching that you always know.
Yeah, but she's also in charge of like women and children and fertility and all of that stuff.
All that stuff too.
So when I first got her, it's when we this particular one, because Chris didn't like the fact that she was holding a kid. He's like, he thought it was too religious looking.
Yeah.
Whereas when I first got it, it's when we first started talking about children. Years ago.
Yeah.
Before we started our journey, years ago, when we first started talking about children. We just
got the actual discussion.
Yeah, I ended up buying this particular Kuan Yin because I liked it and I wanted her to bring that children energy into our house.
Yeah, I was going to say, bring that all through.
Yeah. So, so she's been my patron.
You've had a relationship with her for a long time.
A long time. And I tend to find that any books that are written, that have, like, I've got a series of books that I like. I spoke about it in my episode with,
I can't remember what it was.
Who did I interview? It's when you were right there.
Oh, Temperance.
Temperance, yes. So I interviewed her and I spoke about the series that I've read, which is the White Tiger, Red Dragon, Blue Dragon, Red Phoenix, and all the other books that come in that series by Kylie Chan. Kuan Yin appears in the series as the Ascended Master that she is. And she's always about compassion and mercy. And the way that they write about, or that Kylie Chan has written about her in the book, it just like so resonates to everything that I know that she's about. Because like it's that whole thing of, you know, my little mantra of like knowledge leads to understanding leads to tolerance leads to acceptance leads to unconditional love. Hence why I'm always on a journey of knowledge, because that it ultimately gets
always
lead
to
love.
So
that's why I like her so much, and I try to do everything in my life is about unconditional love. So that's why she's my patron. But I have had a couple of other patrons that have recently presented themselves. I haven't really worked with them much. But they're on my radar, so I'm delving into them.
Coming in, it's a slight big building.
Because as I've been growing, they're making. Well, Pan has been around. Whilst I've never worked with Pan, he's been around. I've had a statue of him for a long time, several years. But I haven't actually physically worked with him. But he's making himself more and more known, and there's all these little connections that I'm seeing in the real world about Pan. So I'm now starting to, I'm going to start working with him more and more, I think.
Yeah, start to develop that relationship a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've worked, I work with Odin, and so he's been around for a while. So we work with him, and I also work with quite closely with, she's sort of kind of, I don't know whether she's necessarily a goddess, she's a figure in the Ulster cycle of Irish mythology, and she's Skyak. And so I deal with her, I work with her a lot. So she's a warrior goddess, for want of a better word, and lots of other things as well.
You've got Xena, you've got Odin.
Yeah, I know,
Skyak,
I know, I've got like, quite a...
I'm sensing
Odin,
a theme.
There's a bit of a theme there, isn't there? No, but Odin, for me, I actually see him more on the knowledge side of things rather than the warrior. So he comes more through like helping me with runes, and also because he had a really huge thirst for knowledge. He traveled everywhere. That's why he gave up his eye. There was all different kinds of things that he's done throughout the whole cycle. So that's more where he comes in. So I guess he's kind of crosses that border of like teacher patron a little bit.
Mm-hmm. He's like your double whammy.
Yes. Yeah.
I like it.
Yep.
So in connecting with them.
Yes.
Do you want to tell us a little bit? What are some ideas that you've got?
So for me, for connecting with them, I guess one of the easiest ways and one of the ones that I connected first with is through meditation or journeying and journey work. And there's lots and lots of different, you could probably find them on YouTube.
Audios on YouTube.
Audio and all of that sort of stuff that have ones that will take you to a place, somewhere that's really good to, if you're quite... like you've been doing journey work and things like that, is to go to like a tree of life or your tree of life, and you'll often find that they'll come in there a little bit as well. I think the first, if you're looking animal specific, the actual meditation I did that first connected me with my two guides was sort of inspired by a meditation by Diana Paxson in her book Transportation, which is also a really good book as well, around meditation and trance work and things like that. And it's in there to actually go and you follow the meditation to find your different animal, and that's how I originally found them. So meditation is my biggest thing. That's when I usually connect with them the most, is through meditation, like my morning meditation and things like that. It's my morning check-in with everybody to see how we're going. But like you can use other things as well, like scrying and divination and things like that as well, to try to start connecting with them. And again, getting in touch with your clairs to start to realize what kind of messages you're starting to get and what sort of messages, how they come to you, how you see them, things like that as well. They're probably the main ones, I think.
Yeah.
The way,
for,
main
for
ones
me,
that I do.
For me, I've connected with most of mine through my inner temple, because like, and that's
yes.
just because
yes,
I journey like mine's, but I go to the world tree, and then I journey down a path from the world tree to my inner temple,
because
I think mine is actually, I believe it to be in the trunk of the tree, like it's somewhere in there, but I have to journey down into it.
Down to it.
Yeah. So, and it's because I've been journeying there for about 20 years. I've been journeying to the same temple, like
same
the same
place.
Inner temple.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to Christopher Penchak's guided meditation that I follow. and you know, I listen to the same meditation now by him that what I listened to when I first got his book.
Yeah.
So every time I want to journey to my inner temple, I listen to the exact same meditation. I don't need to recreate the wheel. I don't need to come up with this new fandangled. No, I just use the one that I know, I like, I trust.
Yeah, that's it.
And it takes me there. And I love his meditation because you go in there, you get to explore your temple and notice anything that's changed or anything that's different. He allows you time to connect with your healing guide. He now allows you time to connect with one of your other guides, like whoever wants to present themselves to you.
There.
And he leaves you in silence to communicate with them and whatever, and then eventually calls you back and brings you out. So yep. I've literally done his meditation like numerous times in a day.
I love it.
When I was learning, because I went in there saying, I want to now meet someone else. And it wasn't until one time I went down there and I said I wanted someone else, and they said, well, that's it. There is no
How
one
many
else.
More do you want? Like, come on. Don't be greedy. But yeah, that is a really good point, because that's where I meet all of mine through, is through my space on the astral, my little temple that I go to, my place. And that's where like the gatekeepery and protector kind of thing comes in a little bit as well, because especially my two animal guides, they will actually then bring, that's how I met Odin, like created that connection with Odin, they'll actually bring them in as well. So they've actually okayed them and helped bring them in. So I've actually met numerous guides through there. So that's a good space to go to, is to connect in with your inner temple, creating that inner temple as well.
So let's just say you meet one. Mm-hmm. What do you say to them?
Hi. Hi, how are you? How are you going? What's up? Sorry.
I'm sorry, I lost it.
No.
What do you say then? Hi.
Say hi, and I do it very high-pitched as well. No.
Hi, my name's Vicky.
Introduce yourself and find out. But yes, you can ask them questions. Mm-hmm. Ask them, who are they? Why are they here? And usually before that, though, they've been vetted when they've got to that point for me. They've been vetted. So I know that they're legit.
Did you receive their CV?
I did.
Did you contact their references?
I had all of their references. Okay, you can come in now.
Here's one I prepared earlier. Well, I actually didn't prepare it at all. I actually have taken this from a book that I've got called Spirit Allies.
Yeah, it's
so really this crazy. Is one of Christopher Petchak's books. Oh, sorry, Penzack. I always say it like Czech way, not the American way.
I know.
Christopher Penzack. So there's actually a 20 questions. It's an exercise in this book. And I've done this so many times just for fun.
And it's a grid.
Sometimes I do it just to shit stir them, just because they like to shit stir me. So I'll ask one of them to come down and I'll start asking them questions and they'll go to leave. I'm like, excuse me, I didn't say you could leave.
I haven't finished yet. I've still got more questions.
And then it's like, they're like,
really?
Yeah. But like, for example, things like, what is your name?
Yep.
What is your purpose? What do you have to tell me? What are you?
That's a good one.
Where are you from? Have you ever lived in a physical body? Have you ever lived on Earth? Do we have past life associations? Do you guide anyone else who is in body? Do you have an area of expertise? And if so, what is it? What is the best way to contact you? How will I recognize you in the future? Where are you? Are you physically near me at all? Are you ever not with me? Like, not with me, like, yeah. Do they go elsewhere?
Come and go.
How do I know you are real and not a figment of my imagination? What is my life's purpose? What is the meaning of life? What should I be changing in my life? What can I specifically be doing to improve my health, balance, and overall life? Or why are you my guide and why are we meeting now at this point in my life? So that's just like
I like that one.
20 questions. Yeah.
It's good, like, to have those ideas, because sometimes they pop up and you're just kind of like, I don't know, what do we do now? That kind of awkward conversation. It's like, I don't know. But they're really great questions to ask and to get to know them, because that's the big thing, is also to build that rapport as well with them. Once they make themselves known, like, to some degree, treating them like a friend or somebody that you know, you want to continue to build up and not just kind of high by.
Oh, so on that note,
I know you have a story left. About that. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I won't go into too much detail because I don't want this to be a lengthy episode. But no, I have actually had guides that I was doing a lot of spiritual work. I had my posse all worked out. It was all great. And then because I kind of stepped aside from my posse for a bit, like, I kind of was moved focusing more on the mundane, less with the spiritual. Also because of things that happen in the physical world, that I kind of shunned my spirituality for a bit, and I was like, nah, distance myself from this. I'm not doing this anymore, not playing this game anymore. Full context, they're saying to me, you need to give context, because your listeners are going to be like, why would you do that? That's really inappropriate for a witch to be on a podcast that did that. Okay, quick context. It's because of the fact that my parents split. And the divorce and everything about the affair that happened and the whole situation came out in a tarot reading, and I was angry at them for not warning me.
Yep.
That why they allowed that being the point or the time when I found out about it, when I'm doing a tarot reading for my parents, or for actually it was for my mum.
Yeah.
And that's when it came up, and I'm like, thanks for the heads up, assholes. Like, I was so angry at them because they allowed me to be subjected into a situation where I had to deliver that news to my mum. Mm. Yeah, so I was just angry, like, at them
all.
It's
not cool, dude, basically. No.
I was angry because, like, literally, like, in the moment. And I'm like, great, thanks, awesome. So I actually decided to tell, not in these exact words, but I pretty much told them all to go fuck themselves and I don't want to talk to them anymore. And because of that, I had a few that left.
Yeah.
And they have never come back. There's a couple that stuck around. They said, we'll just sit here and wait. You'll come back.
Yep.
Because I know that they're lifetime guides. They're not just for a reason or a season. They're lifetime guides.
Yeah.
But the others, they're just like, nah, peace out, bitch. You think we're can done. Do better without us?
Off you go. Wash my hands.
Like, right? That's legit.
So yeah, it does. So build a rapport. Say thank you. All of those kind of things. You know, like just have that respect and build that mutual respect between you and your
Like
guys.
I know that I sit here and I joke about them and I call them names and say cuss and whatever at them, but that's because we have that mutual respect.
That's it.
They know when I'm joking.
Yeah.
They know when I'm serious and vice versa. That's why they give me just as much lip as I give them. But then if I'm actually trying to channel something, I'm like, no. Okay. Jokes aside, give me an answer. They will be straight on
there.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we don't need to be all formal.
No, that's right. It doesn't need to be formal.
I now call upon my guide.
All come forth.
Embody this space in front of yonder. Talking like that, but anyway,
I don't know. But, so cool.
But yeah, no, we don't have to do like formalities. Like I could literally just sit here now, like I've been doing this whole episode, and just say something, and they'll just jump in and talk. And then I'm like, oh, okay, you want me to say that? Cool.
See, and sometimes it can be super inappropriate times when they decide to just jump on in and start talking, and you're like, okay, do I say that out loud or not?
So I said this in the last episode
where
they've come in and I got confused as to who said what, and I responded to them thinking it was the person I was talking to who said it, and they're like, what?
So I didn't say
that's happened.
Yeah, so that can happen.
But anyway, once you've built that rapport, you've asked them all those questions, then just build that trust and relationship with them, and then just keep talking to them. They want to help you.
That's it. They're like your team. They want you to succeed. They want to help you. They want to support you. They want to build that. So ask.
Well, it's part of that whole, our magical daily practices.
Yeah, that's right. Because I mean, meditation, that's what I do.
Affirmation, grounding, inquiry, which is where you talk to them.
Where you can talk
divination
to them.
And whatever, and checking in with your guides.
Yeah.
And knowledge. So checking in is literally just every morning. I go, hey. Hey, guys. Hey, girls. Hey.
Hey, everybody. Hello.
Hey, what's up in my crib? You just talk to them.
Yeah, that's it. And that's literally what I'll do in like my morning meditation that I do, is just have a quick hi kind of thing. Like, it's not literally a hi, but like they flash in.
Hi.
Nobody.
It's Vicky.
Nobody wants to be doing that in the morning. Let's face it. Not even me.
This is why we record in the afternoon.
That's right. That's why we record in the afternoon, not in the morning. But yeah, it'll just be in their way that we communicate to each other. It'll just be kind of like a little check-in and say hello and see how they're doing. And any messages, I guess, kind of like a voicemail. Any messages? What am I need to do today?
Oh my God. So mine just said, you call me your spiritual voicemail, I'ma slap you.
Yeah, I know. That's it.
Because I just said, can I call you my spiritual voicemail? She's like,
No. Mm-mm.
No.
No, just no, just no. But yeah, so you build that trust, build that relationship, and then you'll be sitting there having a conversation with them.
Like we have been.
Like we've been through this all time.
But that just brings me, I think we should come follow up episode about animal spirits.
Yes.
I think we could dive into that a little deeper.
Yeah, because they have a whole kind of category and area of their own. Like they can come and go throughout your whole life and may come in for different reasons.
Yeah. But we want to hear from you. So listeners, viewers, everybody, Patreons, everyone out there.
Everyone.
We want to hear from you. Tell us, like, who are your, like, have you met your spirit guides? And if so, what category do they fall in? Or where, like, what is their point of origin? Do you deal with your ancestors, your deities, your ascended masters, your elementals? Who's in your posse? Who's in your crew? Represent.
Yeah, what's who's all there? And if it's something different as well, let us know. Like, because not like we said, they'll come to you in a way and trust what that is that they come to you as well. It doesn't have to necessarily be in these categories. So it'd be interesting to see how other people have connected and things like that.
Yeah. I think that's a wrap.
I think that's us. Well, enjoy. Awesome. Have an awesome day, everybody.
We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye.